I'm Alice Great and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Petri Dish, the podcast that aims to dissect science and take a look down the microscope at controversial topics in research. And part of our International Women's Day celebrations, we are interviewing women in science to celebrate them and the science that they do. And we are honoured to be joined by Sarah McSorley. She's from Maryland, US, and she is an author of a really cool book that she will be telling us all about. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah, for our International Women's Day celebrations.
Thank you for having me, Alice. I'm excited to be a part of it.
I sort of in my introduction touched on the fact that you're an author of a book. So why not start there? Can you tell us about you and what you do and your work?
Sure. So I'll start with the book. So last year, I published a book called Super Cool Scientists. And what it is a story and coloring book that really celebrates women working in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. It features 22 different women who are currently doing really cool work in those fields. And, you know, the full page bio really talks about not just the work that they do in their field, but also how they got interested in it in the first place and sort of what they like to do outside of work as well for fun. So it really was trying to show the whole person as far as what a scientist looks like.
And what inspired you to do that?
So I had kind of gotten, I have a background in science myself. I studied marine biology and over the years had gotten a little bit farther away from that and had started, right now I'm currently a director for a university program that runs a lot of youth and teacher programming in art, science, and mathematics. But there wasn't that much science. So I kind of missed the science aspect of my life that used to be so much of a part of it. So I was trying to figure out a project for myself that I could do to kind of bring some of that science outreach, science communication back to what I was doing. And at the same time, I was also dealing with sort of some of my own anxiety issues and trying to figure out what strategies worked for me to kind of work on that. And one of those things for me that helps is coloring. So I was sort of looking up books that I would be interested in. And I Googled women in science coloring book. And at the time, nothing came up, which, you know, that never happens. So I was sort of playing around like, okay, maybe this is my idea for a science project for myself outside of work. And after talking it through with some people and finding the illustrator for the project, we did a Kickstarter and turned it into a real thing.
That's amazing. You turned a passion as well as turning something you were interested in and a personal experience into something that would help yourself, help others, promote women in STEM. That is amazing. Congratulations. That's fantastic. What an achievement.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's been a lot of fun. It was all very new for me. I had never written a book. I had never done a Kickstarter or a crowdfunding campaign. You know, now it's a small business too. So all of it is sort of, I was really learning as I went, but it's been a really fantastic experience.
So what made you want to focus on showcasing women in STEM?
You know, again, going back to my own training in science and still working with a lot of scientists in the work I do now, you know, I've been really aware of a lot of the issues women face in science sometimes, and people of color as well, that there's still a lot of underrepresentation in the STEM fields, not just in the recruitment of getting more people involved in science, but then also the retention of sort of really working to create environments and systems in STEM fields that really make people want to stay in the sciences. So, you know, inclusion in science has always been something that I've tried to sort of help promote. So I think that's part of why I was really interested in using the book as a vehicle to do that. So, you know, it does focus on women, and it also features a really wide diversity of women too, as individuals and also in the types of science that they study.
There's so much I want to talk about in this interview, because when we think of coloring books, we think of young children, and when we think of science engagement, we think of young children, but actually adults benefit equally from both of these things, as you said about sort of mindfulness colouring books and how good they are for anxiety. So it's such an amazing thing to think that a colouring book for kids is going to be opening up the world of science for them, and also creating role models for young girls using women in STEM as a reference point, but also for adults in helping them to learn about some amazing women in STEM and providing some relief from anxiety. It's such a fantastic project. So why do you think it's important to showcase women in STEM?
So I think, you know, I've always been fascinated by sort of people's stories and how they got to where they are. And I think, you know, as someone who went through the science degree, and know a lot of other folks who have went even farther in their education for that, you know, so much of getting people interested in a field is sort of the exposure to it. And some of that is, you know, the role model piece or the, and your role models can be anybody, but I think sometimes for young people, or people from any group that, you know, maybe other in some kind of way, it helps to really see somebody who looks like you or who you can relate to a piece of their experience to think, oh, I can do that too. So I think that that's an important, it's important to highlight those pieces of the narrative. And we don't always hear the parts of people's stories beyond what they actually do at work. So that's why it was important in the bios for me to really highlight some of those other things about the women in the book. So like, you know, so trying to provide as many touch points as possible for young people who might be reading it to say, oh, this is kind of like what I liked to do when I was a kid, or, you know, this person is interested in X, Y, or Z, just like I used to be, or like my brother is, or, you know, whatever that sort of personal connection point can be. Cause I feel like that can be really powerful, and for adults too, but especially for young people.
It makes the person tangible, doesn't it? I think a recurring theme of what we've been talking about as part of this International Women's Day, we've always got back to this point, I think, throughout these interviews, the people behind the scientists, in a way, because a lot of the time people think of scientists as science is their only interest. They're these socially awkward geeks that are only interested in their work, when actually we're three-dimensional people with backstories, you know, side interests and things like that. And I spoke to Jessica Drusko about how she loves whitewater rafting and how that makes us three-dimensional. So the importance of threading a narrative through their bio, it seems really important in making those people tangible for whoever's reading that book. And that kind of leads me into my next question, because through listening to your story, I've definitely bonded with it as well, which is interesting when we've just referenced about that in how you can weave that into your book, is that when I was doing my science degree, I really enjoyed it, but I didn't know whether I could see myself in a lab. So can you explain a little bit about how you evolved in terms of your science career?
Sure. So I think just to kind of go back a little bit, I think, you know, the humanizing part of telling the stories of the scientists is definitely key. So I totally understand why that's a theme, because I think that's really important. And for me, you know, it's not just sort of making sure people are seen as three-dimensional human beings, but also sort of that exposure to what science can actually be. So for me, I thought I wanted to be a research marine biologist from when I was about 8 years old. You know, so that's what I went to college for. That's what I kind of put everything into until I had my first research project my junior year of university and realized I really didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would. You know, I really loved learning about the organisms that lived in the ocean. So it's not that I didn't like the science part of it. I just didn't really enjoy the research part of it. And no one else had ever told me what else I could do with a science degree. So here I was almost finished my degree. And I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, because I don't want this anymore. So luckily I had some really fantastic mentors who sort of helped me realize the other ways that I could still be involved with marine science, but not necessarily in a research lab. So at that point, I got more involved in science outreach and science education programming. And that's kind of how I got started. I started after college sort of as a writing the newsletter, being the outreach assistant for a big statewide program actually in Rhode Island that worked with 9 different colleges to try to advance marine science research and education. And sort of through that project, worked my way up and got more involved in the administration of the entire statewide project and realized I really liked sort of that organizing piece, like organizing people and projects to try to help get all the research done and do all the programming for undergraduate students and, you know, K-12 students to get kids excited about science. And that's kind of what put me on the track to where I am now, running a center that does that type of programming.
I think it's so ingrained in us to tell kids to go on to become a, you know, do a science degree and become a scientist, when there's so much they could do with a science degree that's not necessarily what we typically think of as a scientist, you know, someone in a lab. There's so much you can do as a scientist that's not within the realms of a four-walled lab. So that's a really lovely story that you can sort of follow science, follow what you love, and make it into what you love doing as well. So for my final question as part of our International Women's Day interview with you, I just want to know if there's a piece of advice that you would like to share with our listeners.
So I think I have maybe more than one. And one of them
That's
really...
fine.
Okay. So one of them really kind of goes with what we were just talking about, is sort of knowing that there are lots of different types of things you can do to have science in your life if that's what you're passionate about. Like whether it's being in a lab or doing more communication work or policy or government work, there's so many different ways to do science. There's kind of unlimited possibilities. So I think that's one thing. Don't think you have to wear a lab coat in order to be a scientist, unless you want to, because that's great too. And then I think really just sort of being open to different opportunities, like sort of this whole process for me with doing the book, like I said, was something totally new and kind of a risk for me to jump in and do it. But I've been able to connect with so many incredible people throughout the process that never would have happened if I hadn't have just sort of taken advantage of what kind of presented itself to me. And I think just like with most things, you know, really it's important to surround yourself with the right people for you. So whether that be sort of your mentors who can help you figure out that career path, like I had, or sort of be a sounding board for, you know, professional advice, or whether it's just your sort of your tribe of people, your support system, who can kind of be your cheerleaders along the way. Because I had, you know, part of the book project too, you know, was really sort of having those people who reminded me that I was the right person to do it and that I could get it done. Because I think sort of that having those cheerleaders is really important too. So just surrounding yourself with the right people, regardless of what it is that you're trying to do, is really important.
That's a lovely way to end your International Women's Day interview. And we really appreciate having you on our podcast to celebrate this amazing day and also just share your story and how you've made something so wonderful. And so we'll leave a link in the description for your book so people can go check it out. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad I got to be a part of it.